Congress takes on chemicals. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Executives from 3M, they make Scotch tape and other household brands, are going before Congress today. Congress is holding a hearing on chemicals known as PFAS and who's responsible for cleaning them up. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live from Washington. Hi, Nancy. Why was 3M called to testify?
It's one of the companies that makes PFAS chemicals. Sabri, over the years, PFAS has been used in water-resistant fabrics, stain-proof carpets, firefighting foams. 3M says it's committed to cleaning up places where it produced or disposed of PFAS and more research on PFAS.
What about current research? Is there any evidence actually linking these chemicals to health problems?
Well, the Environmental Working Group cites studies that do link PFAS to different kinds of cancer and low birth weight. Yesterday, the group released 20 3M documents that it says show 3M knew for decades that PFAS built up in the human body. 3M says most studies have failed to establish health problems from PFAS. The House Committee on Oversight and Reform says today's hearing will look at what chemical manufacturers knew and when they knew it.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1-3% range, with the Dow future down 34 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.63%. At least 50 people have died in the Bahamas as a result of Hurricane Dorian. That is the latest update. Thousands remain missing. The scene on the islands of Abaco and Grand Bahama has been described as apocalyptic. Evacuations continue more than a week and a half after Dorian made landfall there. And the consequences are being felt even in areas of the Bahamas that were relatively untouched. Eugene Duffy is managing editor of the Tribune. We reached him in Nassau. Good morning.
Good morning, Sabri. Good to talk to you.
How widespread or how concentrated has the damage been to the Bahamas?
The main thing that I think your listeners need to understand is the Bahamas is the length of California. I'm in the capital, Nassau. I'm 150 miles away from where the main islands which were affected by Dorian were hit. That's Grand Bahama and Abaco. Outside of them, Dorian did nothing to the Bahamas. And, you know, for most of the Bahamas, its life goes on as normal. We rely on tourism as virtually the only industry here. And when people in the US and around the world see Bahamas devastated, it actually doesn't tell the true story. Its two islands have been devastated, and the other 698 are unaffected.
So, in effect, you're saying on top of the actual physical damage to the Bahamas, there's a considerable threat posed by people's misperceptions of whether they can still visit or vacation there.
Correct. I dropped my wife off at the international airport here at 7 o'clock on a Friday night. Normally, the airport would be teeming with American tourists. There was nobody there. Nobody coming through, international U.S. arrivals, nobody heading out U.S. departure area. Normally, there would be hundreds of people there.
How important is tourism to the Bahamas economy?
It is the economy. It's as simple as that. One third of the working population works in government. The rest work in and around the tourism industry.
Well, even though, as you say, most of the Bahamas is still quite intact and perfectly okay destination, is there, whether it's from misperception or actual economic damage, are there any estimates yet as to what this all might cost the Bahamas?
My paper, we had a report out of the U.S. forecast before Dorian hit. This report put the damage at $8.1 billion. There's another figure around today I saw at $7 billion. So this is an astronomical amount of money for a little country like the Bahamas. And, you know, the government is desperate not to go borrowing money again, as it's done in the past with previous hurricanes, but they're going to have little choice if they're going to rebuild.
Eugene Duffy is managing editor with the Tribune in Nassau. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Okay, thanks for your time, Sabri.
We have data out this morning giving us a sense of how small business owners are feeling about the economy. It's called the Small Business Optimism Index, and businesses are generally optimistic about business conditions, sales, prospects for expansion, but they are a little less optimistic than they were the month before. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more.
Employers are still creating jobs and consumers are still spending. So you might think small business owners would be feeling okay. But in August, optimism dipped. Holly Wade with the National Federation of Independent Business says one reason for that.
There's a lot of recession talk, especially in the news. And so that might be impacting their outlook.
Other factors weighing on small businesses? Slowing global economies, Brexit chaos, and, says Carnegie Mellon University finance professor Matthew Dennis, the trade war.
The tariffs have increased. They've been kind of concerns about whether the trade talks will actually lead to any resolution.
And Dan North, an economist at Euler Hermes, says small businesses are not just worried about the effects of tariffs. They don't know how the trade war is ultimately going to play out.
So it's the uncertainty there, I think, that is weighing very heavily.
But North says right now, business conditions remain quite good. So small businesses have lots of reasons to be optimistic. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
When a couple in Montoursville, Pennsylvania, went to bed some months back, they had about $1,200 in their bank account. When they woke up, they found $120,000 had mysteriously appeared there. Over the next couple of weeks, they spent it on a camper, four-wheelers, a race car. They spent $15,000 to help out some friends. And then the bank asked for its money back because it had all been a mistake. The couple said they didn't have the money because they spent it and have since been arrested on charges of theft and receiving stolen property. I guess finders are not keepers. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Michael Lipkin, Candice Manriquez-Wren, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.